All right. Hey there. Here we are back again. Episode 49 of Are You Serious? Still after 49 episodes. That's the camera we're looking at.
I was like, what are you looking over here for?
49 episodes in and I still don't know which camera to look at.
49. We've made it. Busy time for us. We're going to get into it. You could probably figure out what we're going to be talking about a little bit. Probably in the next couple of minutes, but I do want to remind people, we have an exciting announcement about episode 50.
Episode 50.
Not to overshine what we have for today.
It's kind of a tie.
Honestly, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
But yes, episode 50, it has been confirmed. God willing, and the creek don't rise.
Yeah.
Josh Morgerman,
yeah,
Ice Cyclone, will be on the podcast. Not here with us.
Yeah.
But he will be joining us for all of his amazing stories of hurricane chases and everything that he has done, and his stories will blow your mind.
I have a feeling it's going to be one of those podcasts where we just ask and we listen.
And we listen. It. Yeah. Yeah. We're probably not even going to waste time with questions that day. Just let him go. Because not only are his stories amazing, but he's just he's kind of a character.
Okay.
Which, like we've always talked about in this business, in the TV business, you kind of have to be a character to travel and chase hurricanes all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also got to be a little off. You're a little off in a fun way, in a good way, but you're just not all there.
Yeah.
And it makes for a really good personality.
And this is basically the only time that we can get Josh because he's about to be going with hurricanes.
Yeah. After like we hang out for his housewarming party. Because we're basically besties. On June 1st, it's hurricane season. It's off to the races. So,
we're trying to take a nice deep breath before then. I do want to talk real quick about this weekend. Holy moly. Some of the video that came out of Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
Iowa. Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Texas. Missouri. Yeah. There was
crazy.
278 tornado warnings
over
the weekend.
Yeah, which is insane. A lot of the chasers are kind of, I don't want to say happy. Obviously, they don't want to see, damage and the fatalities like we saw. But it's been a long time since there's been sort of a classic severe weather season and classic Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
Texas to Nebraska.
Yeah.
This is kind of how it used to be back in the day before things kind of shift. And again, that's a whole other discussion. So, one, that. Two, chasers are getting crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating. It's fantastic video. They're getting really, you know what the word is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this sounds terrible, and I do not take this lightly. I'm afraid if it continues, we're going to have another instance.
Yep.
I think immediately Tim Samaras and his son. And
Which, if you're not familiar, I can't remember what your El Reno was.
Oh.
A couple years ago,
yeah,
a couple of really well-known, well-respected chasers.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't necessarily super close,
yeah,
but they were close enough. And as tornadoes can sometimes do, sort of made an erratic move as they were chasing, and they did not make it out.
Yeah. Some of the videos this week were too close for comfort.
When you can hear debris hitting the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably a little close.
Are you here? Back up, back up.
Back, back up, back up. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So wanted to at least address that.
Yeah.
Real quick, how's Jamie? Good.
All is good. Did a little more gardening, a little more painting this past weekend, getting ready for all the busyness going on. You made a chocolate
sourdough loaf. It hasn't been cut into yet.
This would have been the great opportunity.
I know it would have been. Hey, here it is.
An honest taste test.
Yeah. Wow. Emily still hasn't told me how it is either.
Really, really let me down on this. Yeah,
well,
so.
Shocker. That's every day. let's go ahead and talk about someone who doesn't let us down.
Not usually.
That's a good segue.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah, kind of a cool cat, as the old people would say. That's how I think of Kyle. He's like a cool cat.
Oh, let's introduce Kyle Morton. Kyle, what's your title now?
Senior PM producer. So
I can't keep up with the titles.
Yeah, it's all right.
I know.
No worries. So I produce the 6 and 11, number one and number two most watched here on WMBF
right.
News.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's cool because I've
According to who?
Yeah, right. And it's funny because, I've had experience working with both of you guys. I was a former morning producer. I did the 5:30 and 6:30 a.m. So I work with Doc a lot. Now I'm working with Jamie. Not that I didn't work with you when you were in the morning, but definitely yeah. more now.
That's how I got to know Kyle and like Kyle. I really started to appreciate Kyle's style of producing. So when we had an opening for an evening producer.
You stole him.
I stole him.
There's no other way to put it.
I didn't actually steal. I just mentioned, hey, that Kyle kid's pretty good. Maybe we should bring him over to the night side and let him sleep in a little bit.
And I think you announced it like as soon as the email went out, because it was at the season one finale of this when we were out live at Bonfire.
Oh, yes.
And you to the like full crowd.
Yeah.
So that was my first real shout out on the show. And,
yeah.
And now it's weird to
to
finally
and
be
now
here.
You're here.
Yeah.
So for people that don't understand, because if you're not in the business, you don't. There's tiers to producing and and management when it comes to news. So, like, Kyle was the producer on the morning show. He was working underneath Anya. We've had Anya on before. Kyle is so good at what he does.
Amazing.
That, you know, like, at the end of the day, Kyle's got to grow and go somewhere. And Anya's fantastic at what she does. And it's like, well, we can't have two in the morning. So that's where this has come into play. I do have to ask, though, before he opens his mouth again.
Of course.
He's more difficult to work with, right? We can agree with that.
I think
that
you guys
now,
both have your isms.
Ooh,
I don't know about that.
What's our isms?
What's an Andrewism?
Not a washout by any means. That's like a drinking game, you know. If you want to take a shot. Granted, I haven't watched the morning show, which I should be doing.
I said that today, and now I got to figure out a different word. Yeah.
And then Jamie always goes a little long, so sometimes. With the time cues in your ear. I don't know if you guys realize, but producers will lie to you sometimes.
I know.
Sometimes I'll, like, you know, with 20 seconds left in main weather, I'll go 15. Like, yeah, exactly. Okay. I try not to go too crazy, but, I mean, you do have to, because, I mean, the show has to, I mean, bottom line, that's your goal as a producer, is to get the show out on time.
On time.
And so.
On time. I want to go back to more, not so much isms.
Yeah.
Because. As TV people, obviously, we like to talk about ourselves.
Not at all.
Not at all. As far as difficulty and working with Andrew, let's say it's a busy morning on the morning show. You had a tropical storm on the way or severe storms were on the way. Andrew versus me at night when tomorrow we're getting ready for a tropical storm or severe storms. How do you go into that? Which one of us is basically your favorite?
I mean, what a difficult, I mean, I, first off, love working with both of you guys. I don't really, you guys don't give me too much, I mean, really nobody on the staff does, you know, I'm fortunate enough.
That's such a corporate answer to say, I love it.
Yeah, but it's true. You know, we have good teams. I don't think that there's anybody that is difficult to work with, you know.
Well, I think that's also a testament to your quality of work.
Yeah, I try. Yeah.
I agree. I also think you set a standard too, like.
Yeah.
Everyone who either at least trains on the morning or comes for the morning or from you, like, there's a standard here when it comes to, hey, tomorrow, big
it's
day.
Big weather day. Right.
To where if it's not good, we know who we're going to hear from.
Right.
I don't think I've ever yelled at Kyle.
No, I don't think so. I think that's the way you set up.
Not even to me specifically, but I've seen you be short when it's like, you know, a hurricane or severe weather.
Yeah.
I remember there was one time where. You wanted like UGC, which if you're not familiar, user generated content.
Viewer picks.
Right. In a show. And I remember you walked out here and you were like, I want these in 5 minutes. And I said, I'll handle it. And they made the show.
They made it in.
And yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Cool.
And we were fine.
Kyle's like us. He's a go-getter.
He is a go-getter. Yeah, absolutely. But going very far in his career and already making huge leaps and bounds.
Which is where I think we should first pivot, because when you do get promoted as a producer, whether that be the executive producer or you go to assistant news director or eventually news director, you get fun projects to work on.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about WNBF is there's all this right here is a fun project that we didn't ever think we were going to do. You have a fun project coming up with the Myrtle Beach Classic. I was going to ask you before, and you're like, save it for the podcast, which I love.
It's the producer in me.
I love it.
I want it to be genuine. But yes, big project.
What? Literally, I don't know anything other than the promo of what's aired, which looks great. What do we have coming up here?
It's called Classic Countdown. It is a 30-minute news special on the upcoming Myrtle Beach Classic, which, for those unfamiliar, is the Myrtle Beach area's first ever PGA Tour event. It kicks off, I guess this comes out Thursday, so exactly a week from today. The tournament itself. The special is airing Monday at 7:30.
Okay.
So please tune in for that, you know. And just keep in mind that it's only a very small piece of our coverage. Yeah. And, you know, I'm on the podcast today, but I mean, really, we have such a big team behind the scenes working on this. And, you know, I want to give a voice to them too. But like I said, 30-minute news special, you're going to find out kind of the history of the Dunes Club. We're going to take a cart tour of the entire course.
Oh, wow.
With Mr. Dennis Nickel.
That's fine.
Who is the director of golf there.
Yeah.
And we're going to learn about the fan experience, the field. Hopefully, we have a special guest to kind of break down the field with us. Still working on that right now. But yeah, I mean, you're going to learn all about it. And really kind of preview it before tea time on Thursday. And the Wednesday program, too.
So. Have you been out to Dunes Club?
I mean, like, not played golf. I've been to a couple of parties and had a couple of drinks.
Right. What was your, because for me, like, being a golf fan, what was your first thought when you saw it?
Oh, my God, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
From the clubhouse to, like, the entire 18.
Beautiful.
Immaculate.
And they put in a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Even from the first shoot that we went out there, couple months ago to now, and like really seeing, you know, grandstands coming together on it. They're putting all the tents.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And what really blew my mind is, and I knew how close it was to the beach when I like was looking at it on a map.
Yeah.
Once you get to the clubhouse, you're like, wow.
When you realize, it's right there. Yeah. It's incredible.
Hole number 9. I think it's the par 3 looking toward the beach.
Yeah.
The best view on the course.
I bet.
I love that it has, Myrtle Beach is such a young city and maybe hasn't done the best job of sort of preserving some of our old things. It has a nostalgic feel to it.
Yeah, it does.
You can feel a little bit of history there, which I think is a nice kind of change of pace for Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, for sure. So when it comes to classic countdowns, look at that. What all have you been doing? Because people don't know when we say 30-minute special.
Right.
30-minute podcast, hour podcast. They don't know what goes into it.
Yeah.
So what's your schedule been like in preparation for this?
It's been crazy, dating back to a couple weeks, early mornings, because I'm a, like I said, evening producer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I come here in the afternoon. But I've been up early. I've been out there with Dave and George, shooting stuff, flying the drone over holes, talking to everybody behind the scenes there and finding out what it's taken to bring this all together. So met a lot of great people at the club, but a lot of hours out there, I haven't slept much this week. I'm not going to lie, and then it's just all, I mean, now is crunch time.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think the most difficult part has been, and granted, there's nothing that they could do about it, but we're not even going to find out the full field until Friday. So we don't know. I mean, and I know that we're finding out, you know, every couple of days they'll put out like maybe 3 golfers that are joining the field, but we don't totally know yet. And so it does make it difficult to, like, because you can't plan too much ahead of time because you don't want to commit to something like, oh, this guy's going to play there and, you know, doesn't happen. Somebody goes to the Wells Fargo instead. So now is really crunch time. And it's where a lot of the hours. I know Dave was in here super late last night putting together some of his stuff.
1:50 in the morning.
Right? Yeah.
Almost
so early mornings, late nights, you know, nine yards.
A 30-minute special doesn't mean it takes me like 30 minutes to put together. Like, it's days and days of shooting and
months.
Editing. Yeah. And
I remember Matt pitched this to me in the winter. And
yeah.
He was like, I want you running this. And I was like, well, you know, it's an honor and I'll try. And it's just been planning and slowly putting the pieces together. Now, like, it's gone from a jog to kind of a sprint.
Yeah.
That's awesome. The weather nerd in me, bringing this back, the classic's going to be great, but I really hope, not rain, but I really hope weather is a big factor in the tournament, and like strong wind, strong sea breeze. That could be fun.
You could pretty much guarantee a sea breeze at some point.
Imagine playing golf and not knowing, like, hey, there's going to be a sea breeze that comes, like, hole number 9. Yeah,
it's going to be calm at 11 a.m. and
but then 3 p.m.
At 3 p.m. it's howling out of the southeast at 25.
Different course.
And even for our last on-location shoot there, our most recent one, we got there, it's sunny, George and everybody's getting ready to set up the drone. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, fog rolls in. Mm-hmm. And so we had to delay the entire shoot by, like, an hour. We had to go in the clubhouse and eat breakfast.
Oh.
Which, weather, for us. But, weather just, like, turns on a dime. I mean, when you're that close to the, the ocean and everything. And I remember I was texting Jen. I was like, when is this fog clearing out? I was like, I have to be at work later today. Not that I wasn't at work, but... and she's like, hopefully an hour. And I was like, really crossing my fingers about that. She was right, which, I mean, I trusted her.
Well,
she's good at her job. So
I remember that day, that sea fog. It was Friday. Rolled in real quick.
We have team coverage, of course, for the Myrtle Beach Classic. Can't also look at the, you bring the props to
We got look at us. We're getting crazy.
Jamie's going to be out there. I'll be out there. You're going to be out there.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You're going to be out there. Ani will be. We're going to have everything for you. I guess I can't wait for it.
I know. It's going to be really fun.
First ever. I don't know really. I know there's a lot of excitement, but I don't know what to expect.
Right.
And I've talked to a lot of viewers who said, hey, like, I've never been to a PGA event. I'm like, oh, get ready.
Same.
It's a blast.
I'm saying,
it's
like,
a big party.
I hate that I'm going to be out there for 5 days straight.
And do, do we have an update on tickets? Do you know by chance? How
the
many
The last thing that I heard was 15,000 something.
Okay.
Something.
Well, is
that I think the limit is 20,000. But I mean, you know, people aren't going to be there every single day.
Right.
It's like 15,000 a day.
Yeah.
Because you can buy one day.
Still, that's a lot of people out there.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Sure. And they're talking about next year because unofficially there's going to be a dropout and a change with the Quail Hollow, which is the same weekend as Myrtle Beach
Classic. The one in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be, since they're doing the PGA Championship, there's an opportunity down the road where Myrtle Beach might get the big event. So this is a good little starter for us.
I mean, it's about time.
Yeah, right. Golf capital of the world. And,
yeah, you would think.
Well, it takes some time to figure out the beauty that we have here at the Dunes.
It does.
The Dunes, darling. I feel like that's what
the
thing should be.
Yeah.
All right, enough about the Dunes. Let's talk about Kyle a little bit.
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
I
say that because I don't know time.
Almost 3 years.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
My
Time's
favorite
flown by.
My favorite part about Kyle is he's a go-getter, right? So
yeah.
We get a text last month.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it. Gentlemen, I don't know how many future guests you'll have in the works, but I'd love to come on Sirius sometime in the next few weeks and promote the Classic Special. Not only texted, but then gave us content like a producer
of course.
Would.
Yeah.
As far as the weather content goes, we could talk about the Bay Area microclimates, the central New York lake effect, and I have a story about doing weather in one of my BDJ classes. Let's talk about doing weather.
Sure. Yeah,
when
this
was
is a good
this?
Story.
Yeah.
This was back in spring of 2021, so literally like the semester before I graduated. I know, right?
It was in college 3 years ago.
but so the gist of the class was weekly, you'd put on a newscast. It was on Thursday. And you would swap positions per week. So one day you'd be editing video, the next day you'd be producing, which follow-up story, the first time producing was crazy. But I remember the day that I was doing the weather, it was simple. I mean, there wasn't, it was like basically refreshed graphics. We had like an automated system where just current temps or something like that. And really the thing was you just had to ad lib. And this was back during, we were getting out of COVID times, but it was still kind of in the swing of it. And so we had to like, the newscast was like separate things. It wasn't like them tossing to weather on the fly. Cause I think the chroma was too, and green screen was too close to the rest of the set where like we had to do it separately. And so I was doing weather separately. My professor reassured me beforehand. He's like, oh yeah, we're gonna have a producer in there. Cause I had an IFB in giving me time cues. And I'm doing the forecast, and I'm not hearing anything. And so I wrap, finish, whatever. And then professor walks back out, and he goes, sorry, like there was nobody in the booth giving you time cues. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I remember getting my grade back, and I got a C. And the professor goes, you should have known that you went a minute over. And I said, how? I'm not a
Jamie
great.
Would
there's
have got
a reason I'm a producer. I'm
a,
yeah, right. Yeah. There's a reason I'm a producer. I'm not super great at public speaking. So, like, I'm supposed to time myself out and, you know, think about what I'm saying.
Which, what a.
Yeah, I know. Tough professor. Yeah.
What do you
remember? Has he ever done television?
Yeah, yeah. He was a former reporter in the Bay.
Cool. But he wasn't a meteorologist.
No, he wasn't.
All right.
Exactly. I should have thrown
him
in there.
He's up, pro.
Right?
Role reverse. Now you grade him.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the weather, like, when you were doing it? Anything that stuck out to you?
No, because it was late. It was late in the semester. It was gorgeous.
Okay. Cool.
What was your first big weather event here?
I'm somebody to ask.
The one that I remember is Ian, and I'd been here for... And that was almost like a year after I started, because whatever, 2021 was relatively quiet. Or was Ian in 2021?
Ian was 22.
Yeah.
21, we had a break.
But I guess I joined at like the tail end of Hurricane Ian. Yeah. So
you did.
Yeah, but I remember Ian. That was crazy. I was still in the mornings at the time, so... I wasn't producing, and Ian arrived like kind of in the day. We previewed it during the morning show, but it was mainly like an afternoon night thing.
Was Ian the one where you were in the studio with Jamie and I?
I think so.
Supposed to relay remember that?
A relay guy. Yes.
And it was funny because I remember this was right when Erica Edwards started. And I remember she was doing the four or something, and I was just like sprinting between the booth, and it's down a hallway, the control room to the studio.
Yeah.
And I was just going back and forth, back and like ferrying batteries and like, you know, making sure that you guys were on the same page as the guys in there. And I was like, she totally thinks that I'm an intern. I'm like, she has no clue who I am. And I'm like, Erica, do you need a water? Your battery's good. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's
wow.
Good.
And I don't think that lasted very long. We realized that process probably wasn't going to be very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because communication was tougher.
Yeah.
I don't remember why we were doing that.
We had just recently been in that studio.
Yeah, it was our first time.
In the new studio, which was a different, sort of much different setup from the old one. And the number one thing during hurricane coverage is communication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we need this, take this camera, do this, right. do this. And I think at the time we didn't have a phone in the studio or something.
I was about to say, do you guys, because I know the anchors have one at the desk. Do you guys have the little, because I know Darion uses it like a trucker.
We don't,
he goes
but we
over
did.
We used
everything.
To have
one
in the weather center.
Yeah. Did we?
Remember the back, like the old weather center. Not
Yes.
Yeah, the old weather center, we had a phone or something that they communicate to us, but.
Have anything. So if I need to communicate with you, I think I did it the other night, was, hey, tell Kyle. I'll tell Eric and Rachel, hey, tell Kyle that I need this. We still need to work on that.
There should be like a reverse, because we, you know, there's switches in the control room where I can get in any of your ears whenever. I think that there should be like a reverse thing. Mm-hmm. Just hold a button down, pipe straight into the mic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The problem is, too, is like if we do get a break, 90% of the time it's the anchors talking, so we can't go to the talking
shot, crawl under the desk.
Yeah, that's good. We do need that.
I've always wanted a big red button.
Yeah, right. Ooh.
That we hit, and a red light comes on, like in production, here in the newsroom, and in the studio, like a big bright red light, and that means
go time.
It's go time.
That's nice. And the set changes red too with it. That's wishful thinking.
We just hit the button.
No, that's nice. We go first alert mode.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Bay Area, what was the weather like there growing up?
So I'm from San Jose, California, which is like an hour south of San Francisco, Oakland. And the Bay is crazy just because you go like wildly different types of terrain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So San Jose is kind of relatively flat. It's a little hilly, but we get some very mild weather. It's like 75 and sunny for most of the year. Winters are a little rainy, but Mediterranean climate.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, but places like San Francisco and like even if you go a little farther north, like Tiburon, crazy because you get these little microclimates that. And any time that like I would go up to San Francisco as a kid, it would be like bring a sweatshirt just in case because it could be 75 and sunny, and you get to the city and all of a sudden you get hit with a big wind breeze, the fog rolls in, and night and day.
I don't think I could work in California.
I could not work anywhere in California. Maybe up in the mountains.
I'm not getting paid enough yet to go back. So,
like maybe up in the mountains.
There's not enough weather over
there
for
me.
There's
not. My nightmare is like, hey, we're transferring you to our station in San Diego.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
Just kill me now.
Right.
And then just lock me away in a home because I'm not doing that.
Because I think even in the Bay, you do get some interesting, I think Tahoe's part of that market, which is cool.
Yeah. Tahoe would be fun, right? Yeah. But yeah, even the Bay. Ooh, look, it's foggy.
Right.
Anywhere down like in the lower west, like.
Right.
Oh, desert area. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Can't I'm out. Yeah, Bayweather would not be my cup of tea. What's your transition been like with Cal to the with the evening?
Super easy.
Not to like put anyone else under the bus. I'm just asking.
No, super easy. I'll never forget the very first day that you did the six with
us. I was probably still panicking then. I remember my first six, and it was like, I don't know. I mean.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just remember that we did, and this is classic Kyle, we did a shot that we have never done in this entire studio.
I try.
That's Kyle for you.
And that's Kyle, and that's what I love, because it's every single day it's a different newscast. And I love that, and I push for that.
My favorite thing about Kyle, at least one of my stories that I remember, is like, I love a producer who takes command. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I want to do. Listen up.
Mm-hmm.
Day one, I said, oh, this kid means business.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I mean,
when Kyle gets in your ear and your IFB,
I listen.
You listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so, back in the, I don't want to say the olden days.
Back in the good old days.
Year ago,
But it used to be that when you were in a studio, you had floor directors and people that were in the studio tell, okay, Jamie, okay, Andrew, you're going here, and then mm-hmm. this is going to be your next shot. And most studios don't have that anymore, mm-hmm. and it's hard for us old guys to kind of get used to that. Mm-hmm. But Kyle will get in your ear mm-hmm. and say, all right, Jamie, after the break, you're going to be at this monitor, and then you're going to move to that monitor, and then you got 2:30, and then after that, I know there's no doubt. Mm-hmm. I still never get it right.
No, me either.
There's been a couple times where, like, I'm not paying attention to the screen, and there's 5 seconds until we're back from break, and I'm like, oh, wait, Jamie, Chroma instead of Bam.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
For every producer who now hates me for saying I need communication, it's because mm-hmm. of people like Kyle and Anya.
Yeah.
Because they over-communicate, and I love it.
I just think it's taking plausible deniability out of my hands. Because it's like, at this point, it's on you guys.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, granted.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think you guys make many mistakes. There's very few times where I have to, like.
About once a week for me, somewhere.
Once a day.
It's like today I'll go to the BAM. It's like Chroma pops up. Oh, let me figure that out.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what, real quick, before, because you got to answer some weather questions for us, Kyle. Right. What got you into news? I know this is backwards, but.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What was your passion for it?
So it's kind of wild. I went to a private Catholic prep school in the mm-hmm. Bay that is like a sports powerhouse.
Okay.
And I remember my freshman year, I was probably 5'4", 100 pounds soaking wet. And I've always liked football, but it was like tried out for the freshman football team, did not get anywhere close to making it. And so I saw that they had like a broadcasting club at the school where you could call games. And so immediately as soon as I got cut from that team, I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm still going to be involved in sports and do that. And I did that for the next 4 years in high school. And because that's what I wanted to do was be like a sports commentator.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to get in Syracuse, which is a factory for people like that.
Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. Tirico, Bob Costas, Ian Eagle, Noah Eagle, Beth Moens, a ton of sportscasters that went there.
If you want to tag them all, right? You know this podcast.
But then there it kind of shifted because taking these broadcast journalism classes, I mean, those jobs are so hard to get in that work. Yeah. I know a couple people doing it right now, even in like the smaller, and it's all part-time stuff. There's like guys calling Cape Cod Baseball League things part-time and then like working as a barista, which, and I wanted something a little more stable than that. And the broadcast journalism classes there teach you about news. I never mm-hmm. thought I'd be a producer, which is crazy
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
But I guess it really appeals to, in theory, it's always made sense because I've always been like a very OCD person. I like to have control over everything. That's why I love my job right now, because I have to worry about 2 30-minute sections of each day.
Yeah.
And as long as I can nail everything there and get it perfect, I'm going to go home feeling good. And producing such a rewarding job too, because there's very few other professions where you have tangible results.
Yeah.
I can go home, watch my show, and be like, this rocked, mm-hmm. you know.
And the beauty of it, too, going back to this, you still get to do the passion of sports.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
With the OCD of producing. Right. So it's a great fit. I will tell you, hot take here, sports, and I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to take anybody off, sports journalism has changed completely.
Yeah.
Like it used to be.
Yeah.
Everybody was in it. Everybody mm-hmm. was doing it. Now, the days of like turning on 6 p.m. sports,
Right.
You can get your stuff wherever you want to get it. There's podcasts, there's talk shows, there's specials, there's online. Weather's kind of doing that now. I'm not saying that local weather will always be needed.
Right.
But I tell people, like, and we've had, well, Jamie and I know these people, like, hey, what gets you interested in the weather? Well, I just want to be on the Weather Channel. Well,
sure. Yeah.
You know, like, good luck.
Good luck.
Right. Have fun. So, same with sports. A lot of people, hey, I want to make it to ESPN. I want to make it to ESPN. Yeah. So, that's why I say that. So, yeah, anything you want to add to that as I about to start to rant?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
Are we going to make Kyle answer some questions?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm excited.
Shooting the Breeze, it is a tradition where when we have a guest, they have to at least attempt to answer some of the questions. Doesn't mean you have to be right. We'll say if you are or not.
And am I cracking the box here?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. We'll let you pick.
And then, by the way, Josh Morgan, maybe we open it for questions if someone has a question about iCyclone.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Josh,
we'll see.
If you don't, no worries, because I know Jamie and I do. So that's coming up. We won't be doing a podcast next week with all this going on.
Right.
Josh will be the following week. Just want to make sure we say that.
Yes, because there's too much. So, yes. So the week of May. I don't know. All right, pick a question, Kyle.
Something.
You're on
I think
my
there's
show
like
now.
Five in there.
You're on my show now.
Right.
Kyle, please rest.
No, just kidding. Yeah, right. What's your favorite part of working at WNBA?
Oh, softball.
Did you put that one in there?
No, I didn't. No. Okay, like I would come. No offense.
Like I would watch this podcast. Go ahead, answer.
Am I leading us off?
Go around the room.
I know it's cliche, but the people that I work with. Yeah, exactly. My wonderful team of meteorologists. It's just fun. I mean, it's a fast-paced, very fast-paced industry. I'm never bored. That is the one, and days fly by. It's insane.
Yeah.
And I love being at work. I love the grind aspect of it. And I can't imagine, like, getting out of news. Just because I would be sitting at a desk and being like, what am I supposed to do? Like, answering emails.
Watching the time slowly tick away.
Yeah. And, of course, the cliche answer of my coworkers.
Yeah. I like the cliche answer.
Exactly.
Us, not coworkers. Kyle.
Friends.
What's Jamie's answer?
Oh, I'm answering too.
Yeah, we'll go around the table. We can all answer this one.
Definitely not the people.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. No, the people are fine. Most of them. A couple. Maybe four. I'm kidding.
No, I like it. I like the four. One, two.
Well, you gotta count for Sarah.
Yeah, four people. So. Yeah, four people in here in the studio that I like. Definitely the people. I've always loved, since I've been at WNBF since the very beginning, and we are still a very young baby station.
Yeah.
We've always had like this really cool sort of fighting spirit and a sense of let's try this, let's do this, and we've always done big things and thought out of the box and gotten creative, and we've always been encouraged to, like, we'll come up with this crazy idea and management will be like,
yeah
in fact, let's not just do that, let's do it this big and do it. And I love that aspect.
I like that too. I tell people all the time, and they don't believe me until they leave here. Until you go to a different station, you don't realize how good we have it here. Like, management's fantastic. I'll be honest with you. Like, other stations are not like what WNBF, and this is not a plug to WNBF by any means. But it's just, it's a nice work-life balance. You know, like, you know how we are. If the weather's quiet, we're going to be back there chilling and making some graphics or out at the beach on lunch break. I don't know. Sure. But, it's a good work-life balance, and I would just say that there's a lot more freedom here than what you would have at a typical station.
Yeah.
Less people breathing down your neck.
Sure.
More creativity, like you said, and just a passion to do things differently, which I think we'll even see on Monday with the classic countdown, too. So,
Entire week.
Yeah.
We're going big.
Yeah. I can't wait. Yeah. I'm so excited for it.
I know. It's going to be so good.
I'm announcing golfers, by the way,
I know.
On Thursday.
Yeah, that's
I'm
crazy.
Hoping
right.
There's no weird names.
Sure,
because you're on the tee box with said golfer. Like, what if I get a name?
Butcher it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Y'all know
I don't. Because I can't read.
I'm sure they're locked in, though. I'm sure they are tuning. No offense, but I'm sure the golfers themselves are tuning everything out.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's true.
On the tee box, like first tee.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's true.
Yeah. So we'll see. Last thing that you're thinking about is, at least I would imagine, you know,
what the morning weather guys. Yes. How he says your name.
Now we're on the tee. You know? Oh, good question. All right, you want to pull another one, Kyle? Because that was a softball.
Sure.
Get you a weather question. There's one in there.
I know, right? This one was anonymous, by the way. This one's got a name.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes the anonymous ones are like weird YouTube names that I don't know.
This one's not really weather related. Any suggestions on things to do, places to eat? We have Waterway House marked off. That's from Kevin.
Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. Yeah, Kevin's coming down. Okay. Yeah, Kevin's coming down. Yeah.
Honestly, oh, Kyle should be able to. So Kevin's from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah.
Avid podcast watcher. He watches.
Yeah. He definitely wants to know about a defamation ban and how it enhances snowfall. Luckily, you didn't get that question.
That's, yeah, I was about to say that's a little bit.
I have no idea how Kevin found us, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
He's one of our non-South Carolina viewers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which is loyal. And never been to Myrtle Beach.
And we have a bunch of those. We're listened to from 50 states, which is crazy.
Yeah.
18 countries.
And Afghanistan.
Uh-huh. So there you go. Where should Kevin eat when he comes down? Any recommendations?
Let's start with Kyle's recommendations.
Because
we all sort of have specialties on different sides of town.
You're, I like it.
Not Conway, but you're kind of Carolina Forest-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at that.
That's cute. I really like Nirvana Indian place down on Kings Highway. It's downtown. So
I've never heard of that.
Oh, my God. It's killer. Oh, it's
really?
So good. Yeah, very good.
We shouldn't have talked about this. Yeah. The classic countdown.
Right? I really like, if you like Mediterranean food, there's a place called Atmosfera that's by the Market Common. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. I think it's more of an Eastern European place, but they do like Euros and stuff there.
Great
Super
lunch.
Good. I wish Swamp Thing sandwiches hadn't moved. I think they're in Aynor now, but they used to be in Conway, right across the street from CCU. Love that place. Love a good sandwich.
Same.
I'm trying to think. What's the place? Not Qualiata's. Qualiata's is also good in Carolina Forest. I like – what's the other place? It's by the Market Comp. DeVeglio's.
Oh, okay.
Super good.
The new place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally, you can't sneak a restaurant by me, but I didn't know the first one.
I haven't heard
of Nirvana's super
Indian.
Really?
Yeah. If you like Indian, killer.
You know, my bubble is small.
Sure.
So I have
That's true.
Lombardo's.
Lombardo's, Chuck's, Waterway House. Yeah.
He's going to get his stipend from him.
Yeah. Send those checks. Wow. I need to get west of the Waterway every once in a while.
Yeah, there's a lot happening.
Man.
What about you?
Oh, I just did it already. Martini, Chuck's. You know what? You know what you like. You get my age, you know what you like, and you stick to
it. I like it. I like it.
Waterway House is the new one.
I've never.
That's up in your bubble, right?
It's in my bubble.
Okay, the name rings a bell, but I don't think I've ever been
there.
I've never been.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah. 17 North, working your way towards North Myrtle Beach, right before Restaurant Row.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be on your right heading north. Right next to the Japanese restaurant that I can never remember the name of.
You guys are up there way more than I.
And across the street from the old Waterway Hills golf course.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. The golf course is where I know from.
Yeah. It's across the street. And it is amazing. And they have a fantastic
Do you know where Kevin's staying? Is it North Myrtle?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Sandwiches, 544 NY Deli.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had that place
yet?
No,
I haven't.
Oh,
I hear it's really good. Yep.
So good. They're actually nominated for Best of Grand Strand.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Come on, NY Deli. South Strand, I mean, you could do the Inlet. The Inlet's great. It's cool to go around and do that stuff. I would recommend a lower type of feel for the new Swiggins Wine Place, the barbecue place. Have you been yet?
Mm-mm. Is that the one downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah, downtown Myrtle Beach.
Best barbecue.
Really?
Down here.
Have you been to Moe's? Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place is good.
Still the best barbecue.
I've been to the Swiggins because my parents live in outside of Charleston now.
So where Moe's loses me as a food critic, if you will,
Tyrion.
The sides aren't as good.
Mm.
The meat's great.
Yeah.
The sides, they lose me.
Sure.
I love Moe's.
Yeah.
Swiggins
the white
Wine.
Sauce. Oh, so
And
good.
They have a great happy hour at Swiggins Wine, too.
Mm.
You can get a pulled pork sandwich for $5. Massive pulled pork sandwich. So.
I forgot, yeah. Cantina Imperfecto.
Oh.
Have you done it?
No, but I saw Lauren's post.
Have you?
Which
is that the one that took over Abundance? Yes. What an abundance there. Yeah. No, but we're going soon.
Yeah, I would kill for good Mexican food.
It is one of the most beautiful restaurants I've ever been into.
Mm. Okay.
So try that one, Kevin. It is very well priced, amazing food.
Yeah.
So excited that we're getting places like that here now.
Pricing for me is a big thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go and spend an arm and a leg.
No. And this was, they're extremely reasonable for incredible food in a beautiful atmosphere.
Okay. Cool.
We expect numerous kickbacks.
Yeah. From all these places.
Yeah.
There's probably more. I mean, I don't like to recommend somewhere I've been for dining with Dockery, and I know that's probably what Kevin's asking. And the reason I say that is I've had one experience where I've recommended a place.
Yeah.
And they, like, roll out the red carpet when we come, and, like, everything's well-cooked and all. Like, we're, like, VIP. But then I don't know what they're going to be like to a general public. Like, is it going to be as good? Or Tidewater Grill. That one popped up in my head. Have you
up
been
in
over
North
there?
Wind?
Oh, my gosh.
I know the owners. Amazing little place.
That, Kevin, you got to go there.
Yeah, Tidewater Grill.
Fire and Smoke.
Oh,
how did I not think about
too.
That?
Fire and Smoke.
Gosh.
Yeah. Oh, Fire and
Favorite
Smoke.
Steakhouse.
And one that I've recently rediscovered, used to be my old favorite, just for like a really casual Friday or Saturday night, Pine Lake Tavern.
Oh,
yeah.
Just can't beat it. And also, the food there is out of control.
It's good. And it's relatively cheap.
It's relatively cheap. And sit out on the patio on a breezy evening out back,
on
looking
back
over
the
lake,
the lake,
and it's all tropical, and you feel like you're like in Florida or something. Oh, it's great.
It's good.
We should have on this, the Myrtle Beach Happy Hour dude. We should do a whole episode just related
that
to...
That would be fun.
Get Lauren on here, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd love to.
That would
we
be fun.
We wouldn't be able to get a word in.
Yeah.
Because they're all bestie buddies.
Sure.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And just go through some of the best.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, that's fun.
That is fun.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle, for the content.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, producer.
Are we...
We're going to keep going. One more? We're keeping going?
Yeah. Okay.
I
know
40
you guys
minute
mind
mark.
If I peek at these? I do want to get a weather one.
Yeah, we want you to have a weather one.
I'm thinking one or two more, depending on which one you draw. Because I know there's one where Jamie's going to talk for at least 10 minutes.
Is that defamation, man?
No.
H-A-A-R-P? What is that?
Really? You put that one in there? You put that one in there?
I did. Can we do Emily's?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
What causes tornadoes to end? This one's from Emily.
This is good. So... We were sitting there Saturday night, like all of us probably, watching all the coverage from Friday and Saturday, violent tornadoes. At one point, she asked me, what's a wedge? Like, and I had explained, wedge is a very big tornado, not your typical stovepipe, but more of a, you know, mile long, mile and a half long.
Wider than it is tall.
Correct. It just, it looks like a big
wedge.
Cloud. Yeah, wedge.
No, wedge.
She went down the TikTok rabbit hole, and the next thing you know, she's like, how do these things end? Hence this question. So,
sure.
Take it away, Kyle.
Yeah,
how do
tornadoes
end?
I know they go for miles and miles in the plains especially. And what gets me there, very flat.
Okay.
So, I think that if it hits a big enough elevated sort of surface, wind loses momentum. That's what... causes one to stop. And judging by Jamie's face,
good
think,
try, but
I
totally
think,
wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
So far off base, but the way you presented it
was in the right direction.
And also with that insane amount of confidence.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Like someone who doesn't know about weather would be like, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot between mountains and rivers and lakes and water when it comes to tornadoes.
We don't get hit because we live
by
the mountain.
But you can still get water spouts.
Correct. Correct.
I've never seen a tornado in the hills, though. Maybe I'm not looking.
I'll show you some videos later.
I was going to say, I come from the mountains, and we had plenty of tornado warnings. I will say the circulation of wind is the key component. So that circulation of wind is strong, obviously, to get your rotation and velocity. We've talked about this before, that rotating column of air vertically tilted. Typically, that happens. How into this do we want to go?
I'm letting you take this one away.
Okay, typically this happens because of a rear flank downdraft.
Oh, God.
On the backside of a strong storm that is rotating, you will typically have a strong column of air that's being pulled down from the mid-levels. It's being pulled down as dry, cool air. So if you look at some of these big storms or weather nerds, if you Google RFD thunderstorm, you could probably see some illustration. What typically happens is this strong air aloft is being pulled down.
Right.
And then it gets pulled back up into the thunderstorm. So, follow me so far?
So is that similar to like, because I know we talk about like the dirty
I
side.
I love
of,
having
the a dirty queen. Side of a hurricane is the back half. That's where you get the strongest winds, no. right? Okay.
Yeah, different characteristics, but I like where you're going. One more and you're out, buddy.
Not even close. Not even close.
But typically what happens is your stronger winds aloft, typically where the rotation is speaking. Because think about it. When we're looking at a storm, we're not looking at it at the ground level right away. Mm-hmm. Typically it's tilted up into the storm. So when we're seeing rotation, we know strong rotation is present in the vertical sense. Well, how you get that is rotation aloft from that rear flank downdraft, RFD. Strong winds come aloft. And because thunderstorm characteristics, we've talked about the strongest storms have what, Jamie?
I zoned out for a second. What?
The strongest severe storms have a strong
updraft. Incredible updraft.
Incredible. Yes. So what happens is these strong winds get pulled down and then pulled back up, which then takes that vertical column or that column of air and rotates. Your mm-hmm. strongest rotation. How they end is that circulation has to get cut off somewhere, which is where I thought you were going.
Okay.
How that typically happens, there's a variety of ways. Whether that be the RFD catches up to the circulation and cuts it off completely. We see that out in the plains a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it could be precipitation. Mm-hmm. How do you describe a super...
Oh, God. Basically, the tornado gets cut off.
Well, that's the easy way to say it.
From its supply like of warmth.
Correct.
Cool air...
Sinking
usually
down.
Dry air, as you said, coming out of the back of the side of the storm,
mm-hmm.
will literally cut off that circulation. And the reason, and we see this a good bit here, even with our storms that have tornado warnings, is it's a constant process.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get a strong rotation, you'll get a tornado, it gets cut off,
mm-hmm.
tornado lifts, storm takes a minute, gets organized, does the process again. And you just keep going with that process.
And the reason some of the strongest tornadoes are by themselves, or actually the strongest tornadoes are so strong, is because they're in storms by themselves.
Yes.
Like, if you get a storm in an atmosphere all by itself, there's really nothing to cut it off if the ingredients are right.
Correct.
Which is why in the plains, you have these long miles right. and miles mm-hmm. and miles of tracks.
As powerful as they are, they're also extremely delicate.
Mm. Very fragile.
Very fragile.
Very fragile.
Yeah.
You can have rotation aloft, and if you don't have something to get that down to the surface,
mm-hmm.
good yeah. luck. So, yeah, I'm sorry.
But tornadoes do hit mountains, lakes, streams, hills,
right.
yeah.
creeks, rivers, mm-hmm. yeah. yeah, bluffs, cliffs.
I was ready to go all in on supercell development, and Jamie said, they get cut off.
You kind of started, well, you start talking about rear flank downdrafts, oh, and even geez. I'm starting to zoom
well, there's
out
the forward
bit.
Flank downdraft,
yeah,
too. But
oh, my God.
any more questions? No?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
What'd you think,
we
Kyle?
We have to give a shout-out, too, to Kyle.
Okay. I mean, he's had a whole podcast.
Well, yeah, I know. Right. Emmy nomination.
Oh yeah. Emmy nomination. Yeah. Yeah.
Emmy nominated.
Very flattered. My first
for the
ever.
Producer.
6 p.m. newscast.
Newscast, not just me, but...
But basically,
well, yeah, but for you, producing the 6 p.m. newscast.
You basically did all the work.
Well, I would not want to say that, but
why?
There is it takes a village. Even you. I mean,
what a
well, I wasn't
you
on the
part
nomination.
Of that show.
I wasn't on, so certainly wasn't on the nomination.
Well,
Jamie's not even nominated
choice,
right
but
now.
Yes.
But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So we'll find out that on June 15th. What
yes.
show was it?
It was the Fred Hopkins sentencing, which he pleaded guilty to... killing a pair of Florence area law enforcers back in 2018. Mm. And so that was a big day.
That
we
was
had
a good newscast.
A million people at the courthouse. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good show.
That really Flattered, was.
To be nominated for yeah. that, and fingers crossed. I mean, it's
yeah.
the first one, hopefully. And I remember George, when he was on this, being like, I've been nominated a million times, and took him, 20 years? So... Really?
Yeah. Is this your first nomination?
Yeah.
To go one wow. for one would be epic.
Crazy.
That
and then I'm
crazy.
Retiring. That's it. I'm getting out of the business.
Yeah,
I
blame you.
I would
submit my 2 weeks. Hey, Matt.
And also, how about the entire station? Not to brag on us or anything, but 9 nominations?
Yeah.
More
yeah.
than any in
crazy.
In this market?
Well,
yeah.
But hey.
Jamie said it.
Yeah. And?
I mean, it's stats.
All right. It's what it is.
So.
Cool. All right. So, taking a break.
Taking a break. Busy
brief
week.
1 week break with golf, and then but we're recording with Josh next week.
Correct.
It will air the following week. Correct. I don't know what the date is for that, but yes, it will air that week.
Monday, the Classic Countdown or Classic Countdown, 7:30.
Yes, 7:30 on Monday, but also don't just watch that. Stay tuned for the entire week because
I love it.
There's so much more. As soon as this ends, we're going into a meeting about more stuff with the week. So,
it's going to be
stick
fun.
Around.
Good job on the podcast.
Thank
I can tell
you
were excited.
I tried.
I can tell you're like pumped and ready
to
go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So hopefully it lived up to your expectations.
That's great.
That's it. Episode
Watch,
49.
Rate, like, subscribe.
We've sold it.
Download, share. I don't know.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
I don't know. Yeah, just do something. Watch it.
Y'all have a good one.
Thanks,
y'all. Can't wait to see you next week.